Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable in our gospel lesson this morning is difficult for us to understand because it's not a positive parable, it's a negative one. So to help us understand this parable, I would like to share a modern parable and then a story about a politician who was concerned about getting reelected. The modern parable is about a labor racketeer who had grown rich on sweetheart contracts and the misuses of the union's pension fund. One day he found out that the FBI was investigating him, and he began to rightly suspect that he would be indicted. So he shrewdly put a large sum of money in a Swiss bank account so that no one could touch it. Soon after, he indeed was indicted, faced trial, and was convicted. He was sentenced and served time in federal prison. After serving time, he was released, and then he used the money in a Swiss bank account to live out his life in luxury in Miami Beach. The second story is about Senator Huey Long, who was trying to get reelected to the Senate. He was campaigning in southern Louisiana when he was taken aside by a local politician and reminded that he would be speaking to a lot of Catholic voters throughout the day. Senator Long told his audiences how, as a boy, he would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, hitch the horse, family horse, to the buggy, and take his Catholic grandparents to Mass. And after he brought them home, he would then turn around and take his Baptist grandparents to church. At the end of the day, the politician complimented the senator and expressed his surprise at learning he had Catholic grandparents, to which Huey Long replied, "Don't be a fool, we didn't even have a horse." The parable of our gospel lesson today speaks of the theme of easiness, lack of effort, but also discipleship, commitment, and following through. As we look closely at the parable of the dishonest steward, we can see that Jesus is saying that people who do dishonest deeds put a lot of effort into them. A steward was fired for not doing his job well. So then he thought, "What shall I do? I can't dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg." So he calls in all the people who owe his master money and tells them to change their bill in their own favor. He figures in this way, those people will owe him a favor, and they will take care of him now that he has lost his job. Pretty shrewd thinking. But the master then finds out about his shrewdness and even commends the steward for his fast thinking. You know, not a lot has changed in the last 2,000 years, because even today, a lot of people put a lot of time and effort in doing wrong things for their own selfish reasons. The point Jesus is making with this parable is if the wicked people of the world go to so much trouble and so much effort to be wicked, to be dishonest, to cheat, and to be so selfish, why can't his disciples put as much or even more effort into being the sons and daughters of God? Jesus is letting the disciples know straightforwardly, perhaps with a little bit of a dry sense of humor, that the men of the world are outsmarting the disciples. In the parable, the conniving steward faced the facts. He sized up the situation, acted quickly with cold logic. Jesus wished that his followers would do as much, but for nobler motives. He's saying if only his followers were eager and ingenious to attain goodness as the men of the world are to attain money and comfort. Jesus wants us to act with the same intensity in our discipleship toward him as the connivers, the cheats, the crooks act to gain wealth. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is continuing his journey to Jerusalem and the cross. And he is again sensing that those following him, the disciples and others who were always around him, do not realize what kind of life he is calling them to live. He's sensing they are along for kind of a joyride. They're along to see the thrills of all the miracles that he's performing. They're along to see a good argument between him and the religious leaders of the day. But they don't comprehend or understand the seriousness, the dedication, the discipleship that he's calling them to live. So Jesus says, "For the sons of this world are shrewder in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." This parable is not about money or dishonest stewardship, but this parable is about commitment, discipleship, of following Jesus with one's whole life. Jesus wants our lifestyle committed to him. He wants the way we act and the way we think and the way we make decisions, the way that we work, the way that we interact with others, all to be influenced by our commitment to him as our Lord and Master of our lives. And just as importantly, he wants us to treat each other with love. See, Jesus is saying, if dishonest people and those who are looking out for their own welfare and are so ingenious and can act so decisively about things that really don't matter, then why does a Christian seem so casual about the care of his or her soul? You see the point that Jesus is making in this parable? He's saying that since the people of the world are so intense in their way of life, why aren't his followers? If the crooks of the world will stop at nothing to make money, why aren't we who are the followers of Jesus as committed to him with such zeal, ambition, and dedication? Then Jesus closes the parable with this statement, which strikes at the heart of the matter as he says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." He concludes with that sharp statement as a way to sum up what he had been trying to say all along. If you're going to be for me, then give me all of your effort. Give me your entire effort. He is saying he doesn't want any half-hearted discipleship. He wants a total effort on our part. Jesus is saying to us, if the dishonest people can put so much effort into their work, why can't we try even just a little harder to serve him? Why can't we try a little harder to love him? And why can't we try just a little harder to love our neighbor? In this parable, Jesus is asking, will you put forth the effort to serve him? That is what he's asking us in this parable. Will we put forth the effort? Jesus wants to know, where and with who does our priorities lie? Amen.